This is Dr. Jonathan Hansen, and I want to welcome you to our Warning Shortwave program. Today you're going to hear Duncan Wiley. He's a prophet from Scotland. He's speaking at the Holy Ghost Conference, where Dr. Ziga hosted it. It was from February 21 through 25, 2024, and I had the privilege to speak three different days. Now, let's begin his message, It's Only What You Do to God Through Love That Will Last.
I remember many years ago I was fasting, and it was a long fast. And coming to the end of the fast, I really felt the Holy Spirit start to speak to me. And this is what he said. He says, Duncan, it's only what you do to me through love that will last. Our motive, everything has got to be through love. Love releases the glory, the power, the faith, and God's abilities within us. Since yesterday night, I kept seeing the globe, the world. And as I kept looking, I kept seeing the dove, the Holy Spirit, just brewing over the globe. Back in creation, the Holy Spirit, he was just waiting. We're about to see a visitation of holiness in the church like we've never seen before. Amen. God is about to uncover, to reveal things in the church. He's about to enter in person back into his church. He's about to come in his purity and his holiness. He's about to bring a transitioning, transforming spirit back to the church. For the last 70 years, the church has walked in disrespect to the person, the Holy God of Israel. But God is about to manifest himself in his fullness in ways that we would be absolutely blown away. This is a new season where God is aligning the church with his heart. He's realigning the church with his purpose. He's bringing a clarity back into the church that's been missing. We have not had or heard or seen the move of the Spirit like we're about to see. We're about to see a visitation like we have never comprehended before. And it's going to start with the hearts that have gone through the deep dealings of God. He's not looking for your confidence, your ability. He's not looking for how good you are, how wealthy you are. He's looking for at your heart. It's the heart that the Holy Spirit looks at. The work of the Holy Spirit is to transform us. Listen, we cannot live the true spiritual life without going to the cross. We cannot see the life and the power of the Spirit in our life without death. Jesus testified about the cross. And once again, I believe the cross is going to become so relevant in the life of believers. I just want to bring some scriptures and I just want to share some stuff. Guys, I'm tired. I am just so tired of hearing this stuff that doesn't change my life. I'm tired of information preaching. I really am. I'm tired of going to a church and walking out thinking, what on earth was that all about? When was the last time you really met God? Guys, when was the last time in your quiet time that the Holy Spirit walked into the room and you felt His holiness and His purity in such a way that you wanted to leave that place? When was the last time we walked in that place of deep communion that the very essence of His purity was so great that you could not even dare to breathe or even whisper a word? Guys, we've disconnected from the head. Jesus is not the head over the church. Unless we bring the reality, the Holy Spirit, listen, He's not here to make us feel good. He's not here to make us look good. He's not here so that we can use Him to manipulate His presence so that we can make a business out of it. He's here to change you, to transform you, to bring you to that place where you will find the excellent spirit of fellowship with Him. I just want to share some scriptures. And guys, I've nothing to lose, you know, something. I'm tired. Well, I'm so tired of just... I'm tired of church. I want to meet Him. Amen. I want to meet the presence of God again. Amen. Man, I just long for Him. I just long for Him. I'm tired of coming to church singing about sex choruses, hearing them I preach and listen to a couple of prophecies and walking out. That's not what we're here about. We're not here for entertainment. We're not here to feel good. We're here to become transformed in His presence. It's transformation. That's who He is. He's a transformer. He brings His glory. He exchanges you. He transforms you into His presence. That's who the Holy Spirit is. You can never change. You can never be transformed through listening to words. You can never be changed by your emotions. And most of the church today live in the realm of emotions and feelings. Do you know that man, that was a great feeling. That was a great meeting. I really feel blessed today. Wow, that was so good. Man, oh, guys. When was the last time we walked out and said, man, I've got to get close to God again. I've got to get close to God. I used to minister with a prophet. And when we would travel, his revelation was incredible. But he also moved in a dimension of the fear of God. I have never seen anyone move in before. And when he ministered, he would just sense the conviction. He would start to sense the person of the Holy Spirit starting to examine, starting to convict, starting to put his finger on people's sins in their heart. See, the Holy Spirit, He's a purifying fire. He's a fire burning. That's who He is. Man, the Holy Spirit, He has got to be honored. He has got to be honored above all things. The Holy Spirit, He's not just a partial acquaintance that we speak to now and again. We've got to learn to live in that place of His Lordship. God is good. No, the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. That's good, is it? But you know what it really, what that lordship means? When the Spirit of the Lord is, absolute authority there is liberty. Absolute authority there is liberty. Wow. Absolute authority. You know, in the kingdom of God, we've got to understand that the kingdom of God, righteousness, peace, and joy, is a fruit of that kingdom in the Holy Spirit. We cannot walk in the domain of the Spirit without encountering the person of the Holy Spirit. You can't walk in freedom until you encounter the Holy Spirit as your friend. When you start to realize that the Holy Spirit has come to come and teach us, to equip us to do life as an overcomer. You see, the Holy Spirit is awesome. I just want to look at Matthew 16. Matthew 16. See, God is at work in this nation. For too long, it's been a nation that's looked to man. It's looked to the big personalities on the platform. God says he will share his glory with no man. God wants to come again and be the absolute. Emmanuel, I hear the Holy Spirit is bringing you into a new dimension of rest and peace. He's bringing you into a new dimension of authority and power. The ministry for the next 5 years is going through transition and change. He is equipping you to go to another level, whereby you will start to carry, it's almost like a movement. It's like a movement of the presence and the glory of God. He is calling you to be a signpost, and in the deep dealings that he is bringing you into, you will become a man that will become like a river that will be connected to the fountain of life, that will bring transformation and change in a unique and a very significant way. He says he is bringing a new dimension of government authority upon your life. He says, my servant, you have been in preparation. You have been in preparation, but now I'm about to release you into the newness and to the extension of my will. I just see this anointing, this government anointing. It's almost like as you start to minister, as you start to minister and bring the word to people, I just see the Spirit of God starting to hover and starting to move in hearts and lives. I see God saying he is going to cause a move that will cause deep conviction and transformation that will stimulate within the individuals a total change and transformation of life. He says, I am bringing you back to the first love. I called you to be a man who would carry my grace to the globe. He says, now I'm calling you to bring my spirit and my move of the spirit to the globe. He says, I am presenting to you now a new dimension and a new authority and a new glory, that you will walk now in a place of as it were, almost isolation. It's almost a place where you're going to be free from contamination. And he says that the words and the destructive influences that have been against you, especially in this city, he says, they will no longer affect your thinking. They will no longer affect your emotions. They will no longer affect who you are. For he's seen your heart. He's heard your cry. And he says, surely this is going to happen, that there will be a releasing of my presence. He says, I'm giving you this city. He says, I am placing you in this place of authority over the city, where you will bring, as it were, and the very essence of what I want to bring into the city. You will be a doorway that I will use to bring transformation and change. Not everyone will hear you. Not everyone will understand you. But he says there will be a multitude that will be transformed and changed around you. He says, I've heard the cry. He says, I've heard your pleas for the financial breakthrough. And he says, son, it is in place. He says, the finances to bring in what I have ordained in your heart, the vision that I have given you, the training, the equipping, the business aspects, he says, are all being unfolded even as you pray. In fact, he says, it is yours. So you now walk in the revelation that you are called to bring a move of my spirit. You are called to change the atmosphere, to bring a move of my spirit that will cause men and women to come to a place of total brokenness and repentance. You will carry my presence, and you will carry the fear of God, and you will carry my glory. And in a new day, says God, that my presence shall surely start to flow in you in a new way. Even this year, there are going to be direct changes in the way that you would minister. There are going to be direct encounters that you will receive on, or you will be affected by as you spend time in my presence. He says, surely now is the time that you will now walk through my presence and carry my presence into the congregation. And in the congregation, there will become an electrification of my spirit. People will start to feel my purity, and they will start to feel that sense of the awe of God. He says, this is my portion to you. This is what you will flow in. This is what you will walk in. You will see. New things are about to happen. And Tiffany, I see your heart. See the loneliness, and I've seen the pain and what you have carried over the years for your husband. But he says, fear not, my daughter. I have heard your cries, and I am going to bring people around you that you can trust. I am going to bring people into your life that you will call friends. He says, I will bring you into a new grace in ministry. He says, I am bringing a new dimension of authority into your life, where you will start to carry a fresh mantle in ministering my word in power and demonstration of the Spirit. I hear God saying, I'm giving you the gifts of healing, and you will operate in the gifts of healing. You will lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. He says, you will have a heart, a compassionate heart for the broken. You have a heart for those who have come from broken families. You have got a heart for those who have been, as it were, rejected by society. He says, you will have a mothering heart, and you will have a tender heart towards those, but you will also have my heart. And in receiving the understanding of what it means to walk in that place of intimate realities of walking in my presence, you will find transformation and change. The Holy Spirit is so good. John, man, I love your spirit. But I'm hearing God saying, my son, I'm going to break it. I'm going to break off from you the bonds that have been placed upon your life. He says, I am breaking off the limitations, and I am breaking you free from the pain that you have carried even into present day from the past. He says, I break you free from the sense of guilt and condemnation. He says, I will heal your heart. I will restore your life. I will bring you into a companion, into a relationship, a companionship, and that will bring a sense of freedom and liberty and wholeness to you. He says, your heart, I see. Your love for me is noted. And I will bring you now to a place of peace and rest where you will see my hand move in your life. I will break into your life in a new way. And I will bring a confidence around you. And I will bring a steadfast spirit in you. And plus, I will give to you the heart of wisdom and knowledge. And you will have insight and understanding in ways and in situations and in direct things that you will go through in business and in life. He says, you will walk with me. And you will commune with me. And you will know my peace and rest in a new way. He says, I'm healing your heart. I'm restoring you back to your first love. I am causing you now to be a man of peace and deep, deep devotion to my purpose. He says, I just see the curtains being rolled back. And I hear God saying, I am now giving him eyes to see in the Spirit. He will have eyes to see in the name of Jesus. The presence of God is dear, oh, is dear. Oh. Let's get back to the Word. Right. Matthew 16. Says here, verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Assuredly, I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in the kingdom. He says, for whosoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whosoever loses his life for my sake will save it. You know, life being saved in the Bible is to be healed. One of the words. You know, life. Another Greek word is soul. So whoever who will heal his soul will lose it. Interesting, isn't it? The soul, the flesh life, if we hold on to the flesh life, we lose it. When we hold on to what we think is important, we lose it. Everything has to come from a place of dying to the self. Another scripture, 2:20. This is what Paul said. I think for too long we've heard another gospel. We've not heard the gospel. People's lives are not being transformed because all we're getting is feel good factor. But we need the gospel. And the gospel is a cross. The gospel is dying to self. The gospel is all about change and transformation. The gospel is all about His kingdom. It's the good news. And that's something that we've got to get back to, is the revelation of the gospel. Let's just look at this. 2:20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who lives, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. This is Paul's identity. This is what he's saying. I have been crucified. It's no longer I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. Oh, man. You know, when you think of that aspect, dying to self. Paul, he said, listen, I'm dead. He says, when I became a Christian, I went to that cross with him. I died with him. And constantly, he brings the reality that to truly fellowship with the Holy One, it can only come through that dying to self, to self-will, to selfishness, to self-centeredness, to pride, to arrogance, to insecurity and inadequacy. The pulpit is being controlled by many insecure individuals that believe that they carry something that's so important that they have to give it. Guys, that is not the gospel. The gospel is this: men who have been to the cross and died to their own selves. It's men who have realized they no longer live for their reputation. They no longer live for their ministry. They no longer live to promote who they are. But they want to be one thing, to be carriers of Jesus, to carry him. No, I just want one more scripture. I've only got a few minutes. Is that 17? Okay, one more scripture. 2 Corinthians 12. I knew a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know, or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows, such a one was caught up to the third heaven. And who knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I do not know, God knows, who was caught up into paradise and heard expressive words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast, except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain, lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hear from me. And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelation, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning the things I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength is made perfect in weakness. You see, when we're weak in our soul, when we are weak in our confidence, and when we're weak in our abilities, when we're weak, when we feel broken, when we feel vulnerable, when we feel just nothing, the Bible says then we're strong. Because in that place, we now depend upon Christ. See, Jesus never asked us to do anything because we're dead. So if we're dead, it's not me who does it, but it's Christ in you that does it. Amen. It's not what my ability is, it's His ability. Amen. The Holy Spirit, His ministry is to transform us and change us into His presence. You know, when we say, God, help me. God, I can't do it. God, it's too big for me. God, you'll never use me. That's the soul life. No, it's like, God, help me. It's like, God, you come alongside me. You'll be a partner. God won't do it. It's when we can't, He can. When we say, it's beyond me. I haven't got the ability. This vision is too big. I can't do it. It's too big. That's when His grace comes upon us, equips us to go to a deeper realm. You see, He doesn't want us to be a better us. He wants to kill the old man so that the new man, the new creation in Christ Jesus, shall rise up and live. We've got to learn to live from our spirit man, not from our emotions, not from our feelings, not from our sensitivities, not from our insecurities, not from our fear. We have to learn to live in Christ. So until we come to the place of surrender, we then will never grow into maturity. We'll never change. All the sermons in the world will not change you. It's the revelation that it's the Holy Spirit that constantly speaks, constantly shares with us, constantly communes with us, that brings the transformation. Guys, God wants to bring that life of transformation. It's like, oh God, make me a great preacher. Oh, I want a global ministry. That's not what God's looking for. He doesn't want to exalt the I. He wants Him to be exalted. The soul life, the emotions, the feelings. No, the feelings of oh, I'm too small. I'm too inadequate. I'm too fearful. That's the flesh life. God will never use me. I've got a poor background. Oh, no, what's the point of me trying? God will never do it. That's the flesh life. Doing things out of insecurity to impress, that's the flesh life. Being motivated by anger, that's the flesh life. All these things grieve the Holy Spirit. All these things quench the move of God in your life. So the only way that we can be transformed is through the renewing of our mind. Is being renewed in the spirit of our mind. Now, to live in that place of transformation brings a place of responsibility to us. Because the only way that you can be transformed and be made into that new creation is through the Word. It's the true disciples of Jesus are those that live in the Word, and the Word lives in them. They shall know the truth, and the truth shall set them free. Guys, you see, there is a difference between preaching. There's a difference from being someone who goes to church and has a meeting, then when you look at an assembly, when people are assembled together. Romans 12, verses 1 to 2, gives us a clear mandate how we can come into that place of being a living manifestation of a corporate body moving as one. Let's just read it. I'm just going to sit down. Just... Because what is there? Now, one day we're all going to stand before Jesus, eh? I'm going to give an account for him. You're going to give an account. I want to be the best I can be. And I'm not talking about being this showman, trying to impress people. You see, guys, I want to share something. There is such a spirit of deception in the church. There's a spirit that it's so easy to manipulate people, to bring an atmosphere around people. Do you know there is such a false spirit that moves in the church? There's such an unclean spirit that brings people to this place of self-gratification. I feel good. Well, what God is looking for, he is looking for a people that he can use for his glory. He's looking for a people that he can say, you will carry my power. He's looking for a people who say, I will give to you my heart for this community. He said, I will give to you the ability to carry the burden for this community. You will never have authority in this community until you love the community. I remember one time I was ministering in a place in America, and I was up interceding all night, and I started to hear these screams and howls, and I said, what's happening here? Then the Holy Spirit says, Duncan, this is the cry of the city. This is the cry of the city. This is what I hear. This is the lonely, the broken. This is those people who are in drugs, who are in sin. It was a cry. Guys, there is a cry in your city. There is a desperate need in your city. And we will never be able to minister to that need in our natural abilities. You can never be what God wants you to be in your self-life. God has already equipped you and given you everything you need to live a godly life. You are a spirit man, and we've got to learn to live from our spirit. We've got to learn to live and commune in spirit. We've got to learn to be transformed in spirit. Guys, 5 years ago, God started to show me keys that started to transform my life. I started to see keys and started to realize something. And when I started to implement those keys, my life started to change. Friends, you don't need approval from no man. All the approval you need is from heaven. Amen. Guys, we must become a voice again. Guys, we must rise up as the body. We must rise up into the truth of what Jesus is saying to the church today. He's calling for the church to repent. He's calling for the church to turn from their wicked ways, from their adultery, from their fornication. And he's calling the church back to himself. Yes. Guys, he's coming for a church without spot, wrinkle, with no blemish. Amen. He's coming for a spotless church. Amen. Guys, the only way you can live in that place of purity is living in communion. It's living in that place of living from the spirit man. You see, the key that I've discovered is this, is living in rest. Everything in the spirit comes from a place of rest. Everything, and the devil will do everything he can to get you out of that position in the spirit. When you are in rest, you now have that open heaven. You can now start to function in the gifts of the Spirit. You can now start to see the motive in people's hearts. You can now start to understand God's purpose and direction. When you're in rest, you can start to flow in a deep communion with the Holy Spirit. How do you get into rest? How do you learn to live in that oneness with God? How do you? I can hear preaching about the Holy Spirit. I can go through that. I mean, when I first came here, I wrote that went through the whole doctrine of the Holy Spirit. But you know something? I don't want to know about the Holy Spirit. I want to live in the Holy Spirit. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to fellowship with the Holy Spirit. God is about to do. Let's just read this scripture. Tell you, listen, you can preach, teach about prayer. Man, you can teach and preach about holiness. You can teach and preach about the attributes of God, but never really know God in your heart. And that's where the failure is. We've got to be transformed. We've got to be changed. Paul says, be an imitator of me as I am of Christ Jesus. Who is your example? You see, we have tried so hard to be good Christians, but we have done it in the flesh. It's all been about performance. Guys, it's not how long I pray. It's a connection from my heart that brings me into His presence. It's not how good I look and how good I preach. Man, it's how much desperation I have for Him and to know Him. Guys, listen, God has got so much in store for this church. There is a divine dimension over this church, but it will never be accomplished in any other place but in the Spirit. God's Spirit. Do you want the Spirit? Yes. Then we've got to learn to live in the Spirit. Amen. Yeah? To live in the Spirit. So let's just look at this word, and I'm going to sit down. Man. You know something, guys? It's time we get our eyes off of people. It really is. I mean, the first time I ever came to America, and people says, "Oh, do you follow Hagin? Do you follow Copeland?" I never even knew who Hagin and Copeland was at that time. Man, I'd just been saved. I just loved Jesus. I just loved Him with all my heart. Wanted to get close to Him. That's all I wanted. That's all I wanted. And over the years, I've discovered that everything that I've walked through has tried to take me away from a life of surrender, a life of communion, that life of being one with Him. Guys, God's got so much for us. Holy Spirit, let's just read the scriptures. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we, being many, are one in Christ and individual members in one. In the day of Pentecost, 120 people, they were broken. They really didn't know what was going to happen. Peter denied Jesus three times. They really didn't know what was going to happen. And for days, they waited in the presence of God. They repented. And when it came to a point when each and every one of them, their hearts were free from condemnation, from guilt, when each and every one of them felt emptied of self, then suddenly there was a visitation that came upon them. And when that visitation happened, it transformed them, their personalities. It transformed them from a community of broken people into a community that carried the glory and the power of God. They became one in mission, one in purpose, one in vision. The Holy Spirit is the only person that can bring the church to that place of oneness and unity. The Holy Spirit is the only person that can challenge our hearts, that can challenge and convict us of our sin, that can point the finger and say, no, it's time to surrender this, because when you surrender it, this is going to happen in your life. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. There's a transformation coming in your life. There's a change. I see a change of your circumstances. I see a change coming in relationship. I see God is bringing you into relationship. I see your life becoming strong and complete. And I see God bringing you into a place of deep confidence in Him like you've never known before. I see God saying, He's seen your heart, your servant heart. Now He says you're going to see His heart, the heart of the provider, the heart of the Father, the heart of the one that will open up to you the door. She says, yes, yes, yes to what you've been praying. Yes, it's okay. Go for it. God knows the hearts. He knows where we are. He's bringing change. He's bringing change. I'm going to... Is that eight minutes? Well, I never... Guys, He's bringing change. Do you understand? He's changing us. He's bringing us and positioning us to be His body again here on earth. Listen, when you look at it, I've just come from California, and a lot of my friends in California were saved during the Jesus movement. One of my friends was very close with John Wimber, and he would just share with me how God moved through these hippies. Amen. These hippies that just wanted to do what they felt to do because it felt good. Yeah. But they were disheartened, disillusioned. We're living in a community here in Seattle that are disillusioned. Yes, there's a lot of affluence. Yes, there's a lot of prestige. Yes, there's a lot of power in this city. But there's a broken heart. There is a broken city that we've got to get the revelation of, that we carry the healing balm that will bring transformation. The Spirit of God's going to start moving in this place. Guys, what's going to happen? See, we try so hard. We've tried so hard. I used to do this all the time. I'd fast 70 days, 80 days. I've done so many long, long fasts. Man, and all I did was get hungry. But you know what I've learned is this. When I surrender my heart, when I fall in love with Him, when I get into that place of communion with the Holy Spirit, then He starts to speak into our lives. He's interested in everything. Guys, when you think of Lonely Frisbee, man, here was this hippie preacher. Man, he had a lot of problems, a lot of issues. But people told me that this guy was a prophet. This is people who knew him personally. And they said, man, he would just prophesy and things would just happen. He would just start to preach and people would come under conviction and get saved. He had a lot of problems, but you know what he had? He had a heart after God. Guys, get a heart after God. Because the Holy Spirit, you see, wants to move. But first, we've got to deal with the flesh life. Secondly, we've got to transform our thinking, renew our thinking. When you renew your thinking, when you get the Word, when you start to meditate on the Word, when you start to live in the Word, it's like it's the most incredible thing you can do. It's when you practice meditating in the Word, because this is where change and transformation happens, is living in the Word. It's like we live in our emotions, in our feelings, in our thinking. So when you think in your mind something negative, that negativity goes into your feelings and emotions, and you're defeated. But when you meditate on the Word, I've just been meditating on weeks for this one phrase. Jesus says, I pray that they may be one even as we are one. Just like one phrase. So every day I'm thinking, man, I want to be one with the Godhead. I want the Holy Spirit to live in me. Man, if Jesus said it in John 17, then I'm going to live it in my life. And so just practice it. Get one scripture and bring that scripture into your heart daily. It will open up your heart to the spirit realm. It will bring peace around your mind. It will bring confidence into your walk with God. It will bring peace. It will bring transformation. You see, the spirit man, we've got to learn how to train and develop our spirit man. We've got to learn that we can grow spiritually. Most Christians grow informationally, you know? And so what happens is we have a church that spiritually are very limited. And what is the sign of maturity? What's the sign of maturity? I see the hand of God is in both your lives. And the positioning in God is given to you in his kingdom is one of an overseer, one of a pastor. There is a strong teaching, prophetic ministry upon your life. And God says, my son, as you would yield more and more to my spirit, you are going to find deep revelation coming forth. And you're going to start understanding my purpose and my mind for this community. I see God is bringing you into a season of training and equipping you to go to another level of leadership and responsibility. I see God saying, I put in your hand a rod that will bring doors that seem to be closed in the spirit, but you will carry the rod of my authority and you will break down those walls, those doors in the spirit, and they will start to become an open in heaven. He says, change that heart that you have. Change the heart. How do you change your heart? By meditating on his love. By meditating on his love. By accepting his purpose and direction. I see you guys moving. You're going to move. You're going to go to nations. You're going to carry a strong prophetic message to nations. You're going to carry a fresh mantle, and you're going to understand the heart of God for nations. There's going to be like a heart. God's going to give you a burden for nations. Nations. You're going to carry nations in your heart. You're going to see breakthrough in nations. I see breakthrough. I just see just going into small groups. And suddenly as you're ministering, just things starting to break. I hear people weeping and crying. I'm hearing screams coming. I'm seeing people's situations being challenged. And I hear God's bringing deep conviction over your heart. Both of you is right. You're in God's purpose. You're in this place of developing. God is developing you to go to the next level. Guys, I can go on all night. The Spirit of God is good. He is so good. But I just want to share. Pastor, is it okay? Okay. I just love this man. I just think he's awesome. He is awesome, is he? God. For truly, my son, you have known my apostolic mandate over your life. And you understand the ways of your people. I have given you indeed a strong hand in the ways of ministry. I have placed upon you an authority, and I now give to you breakthrough. He says, my son, learn this one thing. Seek my face. Seek my face. It's in my presence that you will start to see the release of my life in your church. It's in my presence that you will start to activate the gifts and release the anointings in your people. You have a father's heart. You carry a heart of the Father, but you also carry the heart of an evangelist. You've also got the anointing of a teacher, but you carry a strong heart for the nation of Philippines. He says, son, you're going to rise into a new dimension of authority and power. The hand of God is coming upon you. I see a group of people gathering around you, and you ministering to them, you pouring into them, you bringing the word of God, and you're seeing a team, an evangelistical mission team being raised up that will start to go into communities in America, ministering, worship, praise, bringing the word of God in power and might and demonstration of the Spirit. He is breaking into your ministry in a new way. The next 9 months is a time of realigning your heart. For God is saying, as he realigns your heart, you're going to see what it is to be truly walking in the dimension of his power, purpose, and will for your life. Hallelujah. God is good, eh? God is good. God is good. You're in preparation as well. I see a real God just preparing you. God, so study to show yourself to be approved, a workman that need not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Get the word in you, because God's going to use you to preach and minister the word, and with life and with a sense of insight. And you're going to have there's like a strong leadership anointing over you, and God's increasing that, not only in the marketplace but also in ministry. I hear God saying, son, it's time to expand even more in the marketplace. It's even now I am giving to you a mandate where I will write in your heart a clear plan for growing your business, where you will start to see things at first becoming, as it were, more quantified and more solid. But as things become quantified and solid, then things will start to break forth. There will be a multiplication, and there will be an adding and a strengthening and a growing forth, because the hand of God says, I called you into the marketplace to be a prophetic example to how a man can live in his presence and see breakthrough and transformation. You will become a voice, and you will become a sign to many.
This is Dr. Hansen. My website, worldministries.org, worldministries.org. Give us what you can to help us stay on this station. If you give by Zelle, the reference is warning@worldministries.org. That's warning@worldministries.org. God bless you.